the body of Jesus Christ in one place, and we're thankful to be able to do that. And it really is good to look out and again, as Darren said, to see more and more people that are coming to this location, and we know that there are folks at home, and we just miss everybody, but it's great to have the number here that we do this morning to praise and worship our God. I want to invite you to 1 Kings chapter 12, if you will. Take out your Bibles and turn to that passage. That will be the text that we will use in our lesson this morning. And again, as was stated by Andrew in his prayer, we hope that we give glory to God and that He is honored by the things that we do together today. It's the first day of the week, best day of the week, when we can come together and to honor our King and think about Him and rejoice in the salvation that He has provided to us. So let's do that together and look in His Word as we try to do the things that He would have us to do. In 1980, a woman by the name of Rosie Ruiz was the winner, or declared the winner, in the 84th Boston Marathon. Now, that goes back a long, long time now, since 1980. 40 years ago, she was declared the winner in that marathon, only for about 8 days later for that title to be stripped away from her. Maybe some of you remember this occasion in history, as this woman was declared the winner, but yet then afterwards was shown to have been disqualified due to the fact that she rode the subway somewhere in the middle of the race and came back onto the course about a half a mile from the finish. And that wasn't the only time she did that. She qualified for the Boston Marathon by apparently doing the same thing in the New York Marathon. She finished 11th in that race, but apparently did the same thing. And she was lucky to even be in that race because she got her entrance application in late, but claimed that she had brain cancer, and so they allowed her to run the New York Marathon. All of that, every bit of that, was false. And she took an easier route, an illegitimate route, in order to win. You see, she wasn't panting like the rest of those participants. She wasn't sweating like them. Her muscle tone was not like the rest of them. She had not prepared for that race. And I want to kind of use that to launch into the lesson that we're going to study today from 1 Kings chapter 12. Jesus had a much further distance to travel, but He did not cheat. He did not use any loopholes or shortcuts. He came all the way from heaven to this earth, to a place of eternity and rest, to a place of limitation and anything but rest. And He did that all for us. He did some very difficult things. You read 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 21 through 24, and you see a man that sacrificed. You see the Son of God who came and did some very difficult things. And He showed for us in doing that the pattern that we ought to emulate as the disciples of Jesus Christ. And truly, since that time, many disciples of His have followed in His footsteps. But the idea of the easy way is what I want for us to think about together this morning. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Jesus said, listen, this is not going to be easy. And you can't find any loopholes or shortcuts to make it such. That's not the way that this race will be run. The entrance into heaven is not a broad and easy path. It is a narrow and difficult way. I like the way that this version, I shouldn't say version, this is more of a paraphrase. It's called the Message Bible. And I would not recommend this paraphrase to anybody. It's not for a good, serious Bible student. But I like the way that it really presents this idea. And he says, Matthew 7:13, don't look for shortcuts to God. The market is flooded with surefire, easygoing formulas for a successful life that can be practiced in your spare time. Don't fall for that stuff, even though crowds of people do. The way to life to God is vigorous and requires total attention. I like that paraphrase. I like what he's saying there. I don't think that that's an accurate translation, but I like the idea that he's got there. In 1 Kings chapter 12, this King Jeroboam tries to formulate an easy way. And I want for us to look and see what we can learn from this easy way in 1 Kings chapter 12. Let me first give you just a little bit of background into where we find ourselves in 1 Kings chapter 12. In 1 Kings chapter 12, the wisest man that has ever lived has just died, Solomon. The United Kingdom, which has flourished under his reign of 40 years, now is going to come to an end as a result of that passing of power from one to the next. And so Solomon has died, and now his son Rehoboam has ascended to the throne. And Rehoboam begins, as most who would be new rulers to do, to seek for advice. And naturally, the first place for him to begin, as he has a wise father, is to call in the previous administration and to talk to them. And for that transfer, especially when we think of who those men were working with Solomon, what better group of people could he probably have asked than to go to that group of people? If you were advising and helping Solomon, that meant that you probably had some pretty good qualities too. And so he goes to those individuals and he gets some advice. And he goes to those counselors and they say, listen, the burden that was upon the people, the taxation that they had, was too heavy. You take some of that off of them. You make their burden lighter. You take a little bit of that pain and that difficulty away from them, and they will love you and they will serve you. And if you look at verse 7 here, in 1 Kings chapter 12, what a great passage for any new leader to consider. They spoke to him saying, if you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. You serve. If you want to lead in an effective way, then you serve people. And that's the advice that Rehoboam got. Now, he didn't like that advice. That's not the kind of advice he wanted. He didn't want to serve anybody. He's just taken rulership. He wants to reign and rule. And so that group of people who were wise and good counselors tell him to lighten the burden. Well, of course, what do? When you get information that you don't really like, when you get advice that you don't really like, you look for a second opinion. That's the natural thing to do. And so he goes to his people. He goes to his friends. He goes to his counselors, those ones that maybe he thinks that might be more in line with the way that he wants to think and he wants to rule. And he asks them, what should I do? And they say, don't you dare take your foot off the pedal here. You make things harder. And instead of whipping them like Solomon would have, you put little pieces of bone and glass into that whip and scourge them. You make them bleed. That's the advice he wanted. He wanted to rule. He wanted to reign with an iron fist. And that's what he got. And it does not take long for the people to rebel. In fact, almost immediately as they get that advice and Rehoboam begins to institute that kind of thing, they just decide that they don't want to have anything to do with him. And Rehoboam then is forced to go back down to Jerusalem. He flees after his IRS representative is put to death. He has to go back down to his territory of Jerusalem. And so we see the divided kingdom. We see now this kingdom that was once united in three great leaders in Israel now is divided. And Jeroboam hears about all of this and he begins to think about how he can take advantage of that opportunity. And he comes to establish his kingdom. And in order to establish that kingdom, he thinks like Rosie does. How can I create an easier way? How can I introduce some loopholes? How can I make this easier for people so that they might stay here and not return to Jerusalem where they have always gone? And it's really that which leads us to our text that was read for us. I appreciate Lauren reading that, beginning in verse 25. So I want for us to notice some things here in verse 25 down through the end of the chapter. First of all, here is Jeroboam's easy way out plan. And so firstly, he wants to introduce new figures for God. Let's change God. If we really want to have it our way, then we need to change God. God has spoken. God has been clear. Well, I don't like the message. And so I'm just going to change God. And that's what he does. He says, let's not have it the old traditional way, but let's set up two golden calves. And he says, these are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. These are your gods. And he introduces not only that, but new formats of worship. Look at verse 29. Verse 29, he says that he set up one in Bethel and the other he put in Dan. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you out of Egypt. It sounds a lot like Mount Sinai. It sounds a lot like Aaron. And so let's institute our worship. Worship like we would want it. Worship that will help us to take the easier path. He introduces new forms of leadership. Notice in verse 31, whereas priests should come from the tribe of Levi, very clearly, he says, let's make priests of everybody. Let's take everybody and make them priests. Let's not limit that as God has limited that. Let's change the leadership format. Let's change the organization. Let's introduce new feasts to observe. Verse 32. There was a feast that they had that they should have observed. It was not in this particular month. Let's change the month. Let's change the feasts in order for us to have an easier way. And then finally, verse 33, let's really just do what would be in line with our feelings. And let's change the legislation. Let's change the law and just really go with what my heart feels. And that, folks, is always an extremely dangerous thing. The devisings of a man's heart. And that's what it talks about of Jeroboam here in this passage. And so when we think about that, we have a number of different things. We have availability. Let's make it easier. Let's make it more available. Let's take away, this is too much for you. Going all the way down there and making that effort, that's just too hard. Let's make it more available. Let's make it easier on people. Let's make it more convenient. And don't we love convenience? Let's make it more convenient. This is too hard for you. That's too far for you to go. And so let's introduce convenient ways. Let's be more inclusive. Let's do things that are similar, but not the same. Let's change the month. Let's change the feast. It will be similar, but not the same. And then let's introduce emotionalism and let's really let that guide us and move us in the direction of how we want to worship God. I want to look at this in a little bit more detail with you this morning. Jeroboam's easy way out plan. First of all, if he could convince people that false is equivalent to true, then that's going to help. To make some other alternative that would be in the similitude of God's command. There's a lot of similitude in this world. I have the chance every time I go to Mexico to buy Ray-Bans and Rolexes and things that look good. They've got the name, but they would last about 10 minutes. Counterfeit money. Things that look very, very similar. But they are not the same. They're not of the same workmanship. They're not of the same quality. They speak good things on the surface, but not on the interior. They're not the same. And spiritually, there is a lot of that in this world. Religiously, there is a lot of that in this world, isn't there? The building looks good. The preacher looks good. The message sounds good. You know, the furnishings are good. All of the outside, ostensibly, things look good, but you begin to dig. And the message isn't there. And the truth isn't there. And the core, the practice isn't there. And another picture emerges. And Jesus gives us a warning and says to His disciples, watch out. Watch out because they may be wearing sheep's clothing and they may look good, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. That's like Jacob who put the skins of the goat on his arms to play the part and look like he was somebody that he wasn't. Outwardly good. Looks good. But trading in and exchanging that which is true for that which is a lie. Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 25. Romans chapter 1 and verse 25, in the context of talking about Gentiles here, unbelievers, idolaters, as he mentions them, those that would worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. Notice what he says about those individuals. And this is what happens. So oftentimes, and this is the easy way out. Here's the truth, but let me change that to something similar, something that looks a little bit like it. And it says here in verse 25, talking about those that God gave up in their uncleanness, and he says that who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. When you make that kind of trade, what you get back is not equivalent to what you trade in. And anytime you trade the truth for a lie, that certainly is the case. And we think of people in the Scriptures that have paid a very heavy price in order to find that out. You think about Eve, who traded in walking with God in Eden for a piece of fruit. Or Esau, who traded in his birthright for a bowl of stew. Foolish trades. Pilate and the people who would trade in Jesus Christ for Barabbas. And some of the trades that I've made have been about on that same level. If we can be convinced to choose the easy way out and take the false rather than the true, and Satan will win, certainly. And some people trade away the Lord and His people, and I've seen some terrible, terrible trades. And I have on my mind now one in particular that I'm experiencing in some ways in my life right now. That's outside of my control. To exchange the truth of God for a lie. To convince people, secondly, easy way out, that there are convenient alternatives. There are other ways that you can do this. There are other ways that you can go. Look at what 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 28, look at what Jeroboam says to them. Too inconvenient. Too hard, too far, too difficult, too much. He says, therefore the king asked advice, made two calves of gold, and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. Let me give you another choice. Too difficult to pack up the kids and grease the wheels of the chariot and take all the animals and make this gargantuan effort to go from that far to there to worship God. Let me make it easier on you. That's just too difficult. Let me make that, just think about the time of that, the expense of that, the sacrifice of that. Let me make that easier on you. And that's what Jeroboam is offering, is a convenient alternative. And he got that convenient alternative, 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 28, by asking advice, just like Rehoboam did. Probably asked the same people. Did they share the same advisors, even though they were kings in totally different places? Seems like the same quality. He asks advice, and then he makes two golden calves and says, you don't have to go to Jerusalem. Just stay right here. That's too much. Too hard. We get to thinking like that sometimes. I think we do. Jesus said, it is a narrow and difficult way. Take up your cross and follow me. But what do? We whittle that thing down. We take out our tools and our instruments, and here's that cross that we're supposed to carry, and we whittle it down until it's a toothpick. I'll carry it. Jesus said some difficult things. He said, turn the other cheek. He said, you go 2 miles when someone compels you to go one. He said, you forgive 70 times 7. He said, he who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He said some difficult things, some hard things. And the Lord calls upon us to do things that are difficult. Paul said he buffeted his body daily so that he not be what? Rosie, disqualified. We have to work at this. I want to call upon us to take the stairs. You know, when I was on the way to Mexico, there was in particular in Mexico City, there's a lot of stairs in that airport. And I took the escalator. But there was one particular guy that throughout my time we kind of followed the same path. He took the stairs every time. I was on the escalator just watching him, you know. Just looking at him, enjoying myself, watching him work so hard. But I tell you what, he was in better shape than I was, and he looked like he was happier than I was. And I think it's okay to take the escalator, but there are times when we know we need to take the stairs. And only each one of us can determine that time in our lives. There are certainly appropriate times to take the easy way. And then there are times when we know we need to take the stairs. We've got to make that choice. We need our senses exercised. We need our blood flowing. We need to make the effort. We need to go to Jerusalem. Not too far. To not take the easy way out. And I don't think that that's always a matter of right or wrong. Doesn't have to be, but better and best. It's not necessarily a right and wrong choice. But there are better and best sometimes. Sometimes I just need the stairs. I know my body needs that. I know that's an example I need to give. I know it's good for my kids. So I'm going to take the stairs on this. We need that. I like the way that Mother Teresa talked about this idea of doing the difficult. She said, people are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered, forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, there may be jealousy. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you have anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. We got to take the stairs, folks. We got to choose the hard way sometimes. We know what's best for us. We know the sacrifice will benefit us. Jeroboam tried to take all of that away. Let's make this smooth and easy and convenient man, this is just right next door. You don't have to go to Jerusalem when you've got Bethel right there. You see? Jeroboam's plan, really, when it comes down to it, was to convince people that happiness outweighs truth. Look at verse 33, if you will, here in 1 Kings chapter 22. If he can convince man that their happiness outweighed what God wanted, what the truth was, then he could be very effective in this. Verse 33 says, so he made offerings on the altar, which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month which he had devised in his own heart. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel and offered sacrifices on the altar and burned incense. Oh, what a happy day. Easy, right next door. He's doing the work. He's taking that away from the priest. Bet the priest probably liked that a little bit. Here he is offering these things, making a new feast, offering sacrifices. Smells good, looks good, but it wasn't what God wanted. And Jeroboam devised all of that in his heart, which none of that God ordained. And if you read forward in chapter 13, just very quickly, you'll see that God wasn't pleased with that. It says, and behold, a man of God went from Judah, the south, to Bethel by the word of the Lord. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And you'll notice in these first five verses, word of the Lord or by the command of the Lord is repeated in opposition to the devising of his heart, his happiness. And it says, then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you. And men's bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall be split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. And then notice what happens to Jeroboam. In verse 4, who had devised all of this in his heart, it says, so it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, arrest him. Kill that messenger. That's what we do. Arrest him. Then his hand, which he stretched out toward him, withered so that he could not pull it back to himself. The plans and devisings of men, the easy way out, will wither. That will go away quickly. That will not last. And so these plans, these easy way out plans of Jeroboam, those kind of things will never relegate God's word to second place. Taking the easy way out may provide some temporal satisfaction to us, maybe a season of happiness, but it will always wither away. And I hope we can learn that lesson. Take the stairs. Do the things that are hard. Go the distance. Go as far as Jerusalem. Jesus, the King of spiritual Israel, dispels the spirit of Jeroboam. And he says, you deny yourself. And it starts there. Deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. That's what we need to do. Rosie Ruiz took the easy way and cheated herself and cheated a lot of people. And if you read her story, if you go to one of the websites that talks about that, Wikipedia or something like that, it talks about the rest of her life. She never admitted what she had done. Even though the evidence was overwhelming for that, she never admitted her sin, never admitted what she had done that was wrong. And not only that, after that in her life, that really became the norm for her, the pattern of what she did. She was arrested some years later for stealing checks and money from her employer, $60,000, which she denied. And then she was arrested for selling cocaine to an undercover narcotics officer, which she also somehow tried to deny. And she was always trying to get out of something that she had got herself in. And it ended without her making any kind of change. Jeroboam's easy way out plan was devastating to him and devastating to the millions of people that were underneath his rule. I just want to tell you folks, easy doesn't do it. It never will. We need to work hard at this, and I hope and pray that we will. Easy way out doesn't exist. Perhaps there's someone here this morning that understands the nature of that message and understands the sacrifice. Number one of what Jesus did for us, that he sacrificed and gave himself, came to this earth, died upon a cross, sacrificed his life, shed his blood that we might live. And then he says, now you deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. If there's someone here this morning that needs to do that, we would be so excited to help you in any way that we can. We pray that you might do that. Why don't you come? I'll stand.